emerging church is a place of conversation and dialogue and movement. Where that's going to go, we don't know. We're figuring this out together. We don't have an agenda of what it looks like at the end of the road. We just want to gather up people on this road who want to go together on it.
That's Tony Jones. He's national coordinator of Emergent. He's describing this movement. It's called the Emerging Church. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, and thanks for tuning us in. It's Sunday night, February the 17th. Tonight we talk about the Emerging Church movement. Is it a movement? Is it a fad? What is it? When they say they're emerging, they're engaged in a journey, a conversation that they don't envision any real end to. Where is it going? Where does it begin? It's often described as a reaction to, well, Christian liberalism or pop American Christianity. Is it the real answer to the problems with both of those movements? The Emerging Church Movement tonight on Issues Etc. As I said, it's Sunday night, February the 17th. We want to hear from you on the Emerging Church. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. We're giving away Dr. D.A. Carson's book called Becoming Conversant with the Emerging Church tonight on the program. 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Shane Rosenthal is our guest tonight. He's executive producer for the national radio program called The White Horse Inn, and he's author of an article in Modern Reformation magazine titled Experiencing Emergence. Shane, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd. Good to be with you.
You went to a convention, an emerging convention, I think, out on the West Coast.
Yep.
Someplace recently. Tell us about your experience there.
I was in San Diego, California, and I was called to do an assignment for both the radio program that I produce, The White Horse Inn, and also Modern Reformation magazine. And as I arrived at the convention, the first thing that I noticed was that this is not your father's Oldsmobile. This is not evangelicalism as I had come to know it in various conventions that I've been to before, Christian bookstore conventions, various pastors' conventions, Calvary Chapel, Harvest Crusades.
You've seen
Christian
it all.
Bookstores.
Yeah.
Here, this is it's an edgier group. There are more percentage of tattoos and goatees, higher percentage there. And a lot of questions are being asked. It's a very interesting group. They are very interested in having a conversation about challenging all the norms, everything they know about what Christianity is and what it's all about. So it's a new openness that is good because it's a return to asking questions and growing and deepening the faith. The problem, however, that I encountered while I was there was that though there is a new interest in opening and asking new questions, there is also a reticence to find answers.
All right, I want to talk more about that in just a minute. Familiarize our listeners, if you would, with the bright lights, the names and the books that are not only emerging from but also kind of guiding the way in the emerging church movement.
The biggest and brightest light would be Brian McLaren, and if any of your listeners are not familiar with the emerging church movement, the best place to go would be a Barnes & Noble, and look for his book, A Generous Orthodoxy. That would probably be the most well-recognized book that sort of has, you know, it's explaining what emergent Christians believe and why they believe it. And the subtitle of that book is interesting because he says, in addition to other things, why I am a post liberal, fundamentalist, Catholic, Methodist, Anglican, Calvinist. So in other words, it's a generous orthodoxy. It's open to let's get rid of the walls, let's get rid of the distinctions and just allow everything in and let's get rid of all the fighting. And that book really is sort of the manifesto of the movement, although there is a book called The Emergent Manifesto, which should be distinguished from that. But that's a collection of authors. But this one is by Brian McLaren.
Other leaders, names that we should probably know if we're looking seriously at the emerging church movement?
Doug Padgett is another very well-known author in the emergent world. Dan Kimball, pastor of a church in Santa Cruz. He's one of the leaders. He writes books on emerging worship and other things. Scott McKnight sort of dabbles in the emerging world. He had an article recently in Christianity Today, the January issue, going into the different aspects of it and also indicating that he was sort of sympathetic on many counts to the emerging emphases and has sometimes been called the theologian of the movement. Who else? Sally Morgenthaler. You see her at these conventions, and you read her writings often. A lot of different names. Doug Padgett, Tony Jones is mm-hmm. the other name. So,
okay, is this just another evangelical fad? I mean, we've had all sorts of movements come and go. Some of them have stayed, some of them left. What about emerging church?
Well, it's not just a fad, because we are dealing with an actual shift in culture. I subscribe to the theory that there is a pendulum swing through culture, through time, through Western civilization, from the one and the many. And we are now swinging fastly back to the many, pluralism, and toward change and diversity. And so some of the emphases you'll find in the emerging movement recognize that shift, that change. It's definitely a movement of reaction.
It's one thing to recognize a pendulum shift toward pluralism, toward kind of a radical inclusivism, and away from the peculiar things about Christianity. It's one thing to recognize it. It's another thing to advocate it, to push the pendulum. What is emerging doing? Is it merely recognizing, or is it actually trying to push the pendulum toward more pluralism?
Well, first of all, you have to diagnose the issue. Let me first say this, that I think let's evaluate what the emergent is. First of all, it emphasizes communal living over individual existence. So, again, that's the many side. Dialogue over monologue. So it's more interested in the conversation than sermons, etc. Eclectic and multiform over uniform. So you have eclectic worship, you have experiential, lots of different things going on. One emergent church does not look like another. Subjective experience over objective truth. See, truth is a single thing, but subjective experience is multiform. There's a lot of it. They value grassroots over top-down hierarchy. Again, that top-down, it's a single thing, and this person knows the truth, and they're disseminating it from the pulpit. But they have it's from the ground up approach. It emphasizes ecumenical relations over divisiveness. So the old line fundamentalists and even Calvinists and Lutherans, they are divisive because they are so doctrinaire. But they have loosened the strings on that sort of doctrinaire approach to things, that they are very ecumenical, and hence someone like Brian McLaren's generous orthodoxy. So all that said, that's sort of the general picture. And now when you get to the question of are they pushing pluralism? Yes, they are. They are pushing pluralism to a new extent that many evangelicals have not done before.
Okay, 30 seconds or so. You mentioned before, by way of positives with regard to the emerging church movement, that there is this openness, this willingness to dialogue and reevaluate things. But you seem to indicate that it was a two-edged sword, this openness. A willing to converse, but an unwillingness to come to any conclusions whatsoever.
Yeah, I suppose at this point we should give a caveat. There are different kinds of emergent churches. There are those emergent churches that would say, one good example is Mark Driscoll up in Seattle has a church called Mars Hill Church. And he has made a huge outreach to a lot of non-Christians because he has recognized that this is not a Christian culture, but it's a non-Christian culture that they live in, especially in Seattle. And so he has not given the sort of point your finger at the sinners, implying the world of Christendom, you're not living up to Christian expectations. But he has reached out to them, and he has gotten a lot of respect for what he has done up there. However, he is more of a reformed person, but with an emergent style.
Let's talk more about that on the other side of the break. We're talking about the emerging church movement. Shane Rosenthal is our guest, executive producer of the national radio program The White Horse Inn, author of an article in Modern Reformation magazine titled Experiencing Emergent. You can read it and other resources on the emerging church under the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org. So, are you familiar with the emerging church? Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We're giving away the book, Becoming Conversant with the Emerging Church, or the Emergent Church, by Dr. D.A. Carson. To listeners with the best questions or comments, 1-800-730-2727. Live this Sunday night, the 17th of February, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Bishop Andrew Alisa of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Sudan on the important work of Pastor Matt Harrison and LCMS World Relief.
Mr. Harrison came in and supported us to buy an X-ray for the hospital and some of the equipment we needed. And this hospital is now a facility helping a lot of Christians in Northern Sudan. We provide a lot of grinding mill machines. We also provide some blankets, some mosquito nets into congregations so that when returnees are arriving to those destinations, they can be able to make flour now for their food. They can grind their corn, they can grind their grain and make food out of it. And it was a great assistant to us. We gave them some specific seeds to plant, and we expect to have a lot of plantation of seeds and crops in the year 2006 so that hunger doesn't threaten the community in Southern Sudan. So these are the supports we are getting from them.
LCMS World Relief, 1-888-930-4438.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do Christians make progress in doing good works? What are the Christian's good works for? And can a Christian ever do a perfect good work? I've written an article for the next Issues, Etc. journal on the subject of sanctification and good works. And we'd like to send you the next journal free. Simply call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. The next journal also contains an article by regular guest Pastor Brian Wolfmiller titled, Can You Make a Decision for Christ? Does your salvation depend on questions like, have you invited Jesus into your heart? Have you received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you dedicated your life to Christ? You'll find answers in the next Issues, Etc. journal, 1-800-737-0172. Ask for a free copy, 1-800-737-0172.
Within the emerging stream, I would say there's actually four different teams at this point. There's emergent, which is more liberal, on such things as substitutionary atonement, authority of Scripture, exclusivity of Christ, original sin. There are then those who are basically evangelical but trying to come up with new church forms. Those are more the house church guys. Then there are those that are doing traditional kind of evangelical theology and just trying to upgrade the music, upgrade the style, try to make it a little hipper, cooler. And then there's a fourth stream, which I think is a new reform stream, of guys who hold to reformed distinctives of theology, but also are really interested in what a church looks like as a missionary, that's the missional piece, in postmodern culture.
That's emerging church leader Mark Driscoll describing, well, that this is a multifaceted thing, the emerging church movement. You might be part of one or the other of its facets, and sometimes these facets don't always necessarily see eye to eye, although all of them seem to fly under the same banner of emerging church. Shane Rosenthal is our guest tonight as we talk about the emerging church movement. Next week on the program, we'll discuss the Lord's Supper. Dr. Carl Fikencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, will be our guest. Now, when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper that night in the upper room, was he just establishing a memorial feast, or was there something more? Is there something more to it? Is Holy Communion man's work, or is it God's work? We'll talk about it next week with Dr. Carl Fikencher. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing for the weeks ahead, just visit our website, issuesetc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for February. It's called On the Nature of God and on the Trinity. I wonder if emerging church leaders are willing to defend the biblical teaching of the Trinity. Well, you can browse before you buy at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can find out more about On the Nature of God and on the Trinity by calling Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number is 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, on the nature of God and on the Trinity, the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for February. Well, we heard Driscoll describe at least four different streams within the emerging movement. That's what I've noticed in the several years I've been looking at it, just in my capacity as host of this program. This is something very difficult to pin down. It's a little bit like the term evangelical. You find someone that you think is representative, and then you will end up hearing from 100 people who say, no, that's not what I am. Talk about the fluid nature of this thing.
Yeah, it's so fluid. Actually, there's a distinction between emerging church and emergent church. Those in the movement will often correct you, and they will say, well, we don't use the word emerging church. We use emergent church, or vice versa. And basically, the distinction is those who are part of the emergent village community tend to go by emergent, and emerging are all those not a part of the emergent village community. But you mentioned that Mark Driscoll, you mentioned that he was an emergent church leader. And he actually has distanced himself from that. He wouldn't call himself an emergent church leader. And here's why. Here's a quote from Mark Driscoll recently. He says, I eventually had to distance myself from the emergent stream of the network because friends like Brian McLaren, Doug Padgett began pushing a theological agenda that greatly troubled me. Examples including referring to God as a chick, questioning God's sovereignty and his knowledge of the future, denial of the substitutionary atonement at the cross, and a low view of Scripture, and the denial of hell, which is one hell of a mistake.
So even within the pale of emerging, you're going to find people, as Driscoll himself said,
right,
who are essentially of the Reformation stream in their theology, and they want to maintain those things while there's another part of this movement,
right,
that wants to reevaluate it all.
Right. So it's a spectrum. Like many things, this is a spectrum. And on one end of the spectrum, you have someone as liberal as almost Spong or Walter Rauschenbusch or Harry Emerson Fosdick of the 1920s, with someone like Brian McLaren. Brian McLaren has actually said things as radical as the doctrine of penal substitution is basically divine child abuse, which is something that Bishop Spong has said, as I'm sure you've...
What's the biggest problem, in your estimation, with the emerging church movement?
The biggest problem is the lack of foundations. It is fluid because of that, and it gets down to philosophy and epistemology. What is its foundation for truth? And at the core, there is no foundation. And because there's no foundation, there's nothing to hang your doctrine on. There's nothing to hang any substance on. So I actually asked Brian McLaren the question, what is orthodoxy? And his answer was basically, that's a very difficult question to pin down. But it's easy in another respect. Basically, it's the Christian life. It's ethics. And doctrine flows out of ethics.
Hmm.
That was his answer.
That's interesting.
And so, but that was the liberal move in the 1920s. And before that, in the mid-1800s, with people like Ralph Waldo Emerson, who said that we need to get rid of creeds and doctrinal formulations, and we need to just simply hang on to the moral and sentimental and spiritual values at the core of each one of us.
Deeds, not creeds.
Deeds, not creeds, which is another emphasis in many of those in the liberal and the emergent church movement.
So how would the average Christian in a denominational congregation know if his church or his pastor has fallen under the influence of some of the worst elements of the emerging church movement?
Well, there's a strong emphasis on eclectic worship. You may start to see subtle things happening with candles and incense and icons from the medieval church. The pastor is beginning to recommend labyrinths. A lot of those things is what I actually saw taking place at emergent conventions. And, seeing pastors, Baptist pastors from across the country saying, oh, this is wonderful. I think next week, instead of the sermon, I'm going to have the church go through this labyrinth, with the headphones and the spiritual meditation things. So those kinds of techniques and those kinds of things are symptoms of this general shift away from the doctrinal core. What is the Christian story about? What's the story about? The story is about a particular Jewish rabbi who said and did amazing things, and this man changed the world because of his death, burial, and resurrection. That's the core of the story. That has shifted from something that happened 2,000 years ago to what's happening with God and me now, and my personal experience.
So who is the Jesus of the emerging church movement?
Well, this is what a gentleman named J. Gresham Machen in the 1920s said was the problem with liberalism. Because it has detached itself from Scripture and it has detached itself from history, it is basically mysticism, and it's not the Christian religion. He wrote a book called Christianity and Liberalism, and in saying that, he was saying it was a different religion from Christianity. And that's what I think we need to say about many aspects of the emergent church. It's Christianity versus the emergent movement. It's Christianity versus many in the evangelical movement, because the emphasis is not on the gospel. The emphasis is not on what did Jesus do, what has he accomplished. He lived the life we should have lived. He died the death we should have died. It's not about me. And all these other models offer us more about ourselves. It's narcissism. It's Gnosticism. It's Pelagianism. It's all about me.
Shane Rosenthal is our guest. We're talking about the emerging church movement tonight on Issues, Etc. I've written an article recently called The Sheep Don't Keep Track, with reference to Jesus' great judgment of the sheep and the goats, these surprise sheep who come to the end of their lives realizing that that life was full of good works that they never noticed until Jesus pointed it out. How could this be? I answer that question in the next edition of the Issues Etc. Journal. Now, you can get the next edition for free. Just call 1-800-737-0172. Call during this break. Ask to receive the Issues Etc. Journal free. 1-800-737-0172. In the next edition, you can also read an article titled, Can You Make a Decision for Christ? 1-800-737-0172. Ask for your free copy of the Issues Etc. Journal. 1-800-737-0172. When we come back, we'll go to the phones and get some of your questions and comments on the emerging church movement. It's Sunday night, February the 17th. Shane Rosenthal, executive producer of the national radio program The White Horse Inn, is our guest. He's author of an article in Modern Reformation magazine titled Experiencing Emergent. Well, we've talked about what it is and isn't in a very summary fashion. Next, we want to hear from you, especially those who consider yourself part of the emergent church movement. 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727.
Have you ever given some thought to the vocation of either pastor or deaconess? Well, Concordia Seminary St. Louis and Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne invite you to an on-campus visit this spring. These events allow you to visit with seminary faculty, staff, and students and obtain answers to your questions. Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne is hosting a Spring Invitational Campus Visit, March 26th through the 29th. And Concordia Seminary St. Louis invites you to attend an event titled Contemplate, March the 13th through the 15th. For more information on a visit this spring to Concordia Seminary St. Louis and Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne, visit the What's New section of our website at issuesetc.org. Learn more about pastoral and deaconess formation by attending Contemplate, March 13th through the 15th at Concordia Seminary St. Louis, at a Spring Invitational Campus Visit March 26th through the 29th at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Issues, Etc. has its supporters.
I just want to say that I really like your show. It's really helped me. I'm currently in my preparation to enter Concordia Seminary, and the show, I think, has really helped me with my progress. So I just want to say thanks and keep it up.
We also have our share of detractors.
This message that you're sending out is not the message that God wants the people to hear. You don't have a clue as to what he wants. You are all sinners, and you shall rot for eternity for this. You people are insane. Just burn in hell.
That's exactly why we have the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 314-505-7825. Agree or disagree with something you've heard? Call the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 314-505-7825. The Issues Etc. listener comment line, available for your comments, positive and negative, 24/7, 314-505-7825.
Noted author and Christian apologist Craig Hawkins on why you should support Issues Etc.
It's my pleasure to recommend to you Issues Etc. It's one of the few programs discussing crucial concerns for Christians. It's done in a dynamic format, again, discussing crucial issues, and in an insightful manner. The program is very much needed. In my opinion, it's one of the most important broadcasts on the air, and it's one of my favorites. So if you want to grow in your faith, know what you believe and why, then this program is for you. I want to encourage you to listen, and I want to encourage you to support the broadcast, both prayerfully and financially.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line. That number is 1-800-737-0172.
If you enjoy listening to Issues Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours weekdays on the Internet? Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click Listen Online, and you'll find 12 new hours Monday through Friday. You can listen live on your PC, or on demand, or on your iPod or MP3 player. Issuesetc.org, and tune in weekdays to 12 new hours of Issues Etc.
Did you know that the total budget for the nationally syndicated edition of Issues Etc. is approximately $300,000? We're looking for 300 congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. Just look for the LCMS logo on our homepage, issuesetc.org, to find out how your congregation can help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. Help us reach our goal of 300 church pledges of $1,000. issuesetc.org.
You know, a lot of us think that the purpose Jesus came was to try to help us get to heaven after we die. Well, I'd like to raise some serious questions about that based on the New Testament. I'd like to suggest Jesus didn't come here to tell us how to get to heaven after we die primarily. He came to talk to us about how the kingdom of heaven can happen here on earth while we're here.
It's Brian McLaren, author of A Generous Orthodoxy, considered to be one of the representatives of the emerging church movement. Shane Rosenthal is our guest. That's our subject tonight on Issues Etc. Folks, did you know that the total annual budget of this nationally syndicated edition of Issues Etc. is $300,000? Now, we're looking for 300 congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to pledge $1,000 in their annual budgets to help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. Now, you can find out how your congregation can partner with us. Just look for the LCMS logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Help us reach our goal of 300 church pledges of $1,000. issuesetc.org. One more question before we go to the phones. You've said several times here that the leaders of the emerging church movement love to have conversation, love to ask questions, but they're reticent to arrive at answers. But don't guys like Brian McLaren really have answers that they're offering to people, have answers that they think are right as opposed to other answers?
Yes, that's the there is a general feel in the movement for a new openness, challenge all the assumptions. But there is a theological core. Once I wrote a little blog that there was a similarity between the emergent church and my iPod, because my iPod has a shuffle mode, and I could just change from, you know, the different genres. That I am embarrassed to say I have disco as one of my genres.
Oh my!
But I could change from classical music to bluegrass to disco to alternative, and sometimes what I found is that because of that new just the new technology, it's emphasized my will to the point where I like the buzz of what's the new thing that's going to be selected next. And, well, I get bored with a song halfway through, and I want to find out what's the next song that's going to be selected.
Something different is coming.
And so in my little blog article, I said that the emergent church is sort of like that, that it, what it's done is they've picked and chosen all kinds of different genres from across the age, and their little iPod selects this morning we're going to do something from the medieval labyrinth, and next week it's going to be something from St. John of the Cross. Next week it's something from Teresa of Avila. So it's a wider spectrum, but the tendency in their iPod is to only draw from Anglican, medieval, and Anabaptist sources. they don't really have a whole lot in their Reformation genre, if that's a way to unpack it. For example, Brian McLaren actually says this in on page 198 of A Generous Orthodoxy. He says, Calvinists are welcome to join him in this generous orthodoxy if it weren't for his love affair, their love affair with that Latin word sola, sola fide, sola scriptura. He doesn't like the sola, the exclusive nature of that doctrinal conviction. He doesn't like the justification by faith alone position. He doesn't like, so he has come down with that particular position, and he's coming from an Anabaptist perspective. He is a member, a pastor of a Brethren church. So that has to be part of the equation.
It's Sunday night, February the 17th. We're responding to your questions, your comments, and your experiences with the Emerging Church. 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Or email us right here in the studio, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's talk with Stacy, who's listening in Minneapolis on KKMS. Hi, Stacy. Thanks for waiting.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I guess I wanted to say, is it Shane, the guy that your guest?
That's right. Yes. Hello.
Shane. I like a lot of the things that you're saying, but I guess what I would like to add or sort of maybe emphasize, if there are people that are listening that are trying to understand this for what it is I would like there to be words of warning. And you talk about that iPod was a great sort of way of looking at this thing, is the Emerging Church is, let's have a conversation and let's discuss this and let's do, you know what, there's no real, there's nothing that needs sort of to be questioned about Scripture. I mean, Scripture is very clear on anything we might have a question about. And so what is happening in the Emerging Church is the Doug Pagets of the world are saying, well, yeah, let's explore whatever your question is. It could be that way, couldn't it? It could be that maybe there is no sin. Maybe God really doesn't get angry with our sin, and maybe he might not afford us consequences for our sin. And it's about, and that simply is unbiblical, and to be drawing people into this movement is, to me, very grievous. I mean, I grieve for these people because they're being led into being taught about a loving God, which he is, but he is also just.
Stacy, thank you very much. I mean, she sounds a word of warning here. Talk about the fact that one of the bases of any coherent approach to the Christian faith, a biblical faith, begins with the idea that there are settled doctrinal questions that we don't need to revisit every time we open the Bible.
Right. I think that's here's one of the things that the emergent folks are reacting against. Evangelicalism for the last 20 or 30 years, well, 100 years if you go back to Charles Finney, has had an anti-intellectual streak. And so it's been light on doctrine, and it's been light on knowing deeply and getting deep into theology and asking deep theological questions. So that's one of the positive reactions. Where she's right is they are reinventing the wheel, and it's not often round. For example, I put this question to Tim Keel, another emergent author, at one of these conventions, and I said, if someone asks you, what is the doctrinal statement of your church, what do you say? What are the core doctrines? And he actually said, what if emergent is a way of being? It's a posture. It's an attitude. What if it's a conversation rather than an organization or set of beliefs? I think there's a kind of knowing that's really a gut level knowing. I just know it. I just feel it. There are times when I just go, man, the Spirit of God is here and I don't know why. And people ask for the doctrinal statement and I say to them, I don't give it out because it makes our church about something. Now that is a fascinating thing. Again, it's ethics and community over doctrine, and the community and in that context, the gospel becomes something we do. We are the gospel. We are the good news by being loving and missional and with our outreach, rather than the classical Christian formulation of we are a community of disciples of the Lord Jesus, who died and rose again from the dead. Our community is surrounding this particular event and person. And that's the core conviction from which we live lives of gratitude and which affect the world.
We're giving away Dr. D.A. Carson's book called Becoming Conversant with the Emerging Church to listeners with the best questions or comments tonight. Issues ETC at KFUO.org. Our call in number 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Here's Marlene listening in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin on WGNV. Hi, Marlene.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I've noticed with these churches that they really cater to the teens, and the teens do not have a respect for the scriptures or the elders. And I'm wondering, my question is, where are the elders in this? Where is the wisdom from the gray-haired people, the ones that have been around long enough? Are they listening to them? Are they ignoring them? Are they being pushed aside? Are they noticing this?
Marlene, great question. Shane?
Yeah, the problem is, again, they don't like top-down hierarchies. They like grassroots up. And in that kind of model, what you have is, you know, spirituality, you know, that comes off the hip. And it's they love the word messy. But unfortunately, it's a youth design. It came out of youth specialties. It was a youth-oriented focus in its original structures. And then it grew into the emergent church. And because of that, it tends to be very tilted towards the young. And they are intentionally, it's almost a repeat of the 1960s and 70s Jesus People movement, which was a mirror of the hippie culture writ large. And the hippie culture had the slogan, don't trust anyone over 30. You know, and there's that sort of attitude in the emergent world where if you are dealing with elders and church hierarchies, they tend to get suspicious of that.
Do you think I'll say my question for the other side of the break. What I'm really curious about is the degree to which the emergent church and the emerging church is making inroads into mainstream denominations and mainstream megachurch movements. We're talking about the emerging church movement tonight. Shane Rosenthal is our guest. He'll answer that question on the other side of the break. And we'll take more of your phone calls and your email. 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or issues ETC at KFUO.org. You know what we need? We need pastors trained for this 21st century, this postmodern world in which we live, who are not willing to revisit every question of doctrine just because it seems to appeal to this ongoing sense of discovery and conversation. There are some conversations that are settled by the Word of God, by the clear Word of God. There are some questions that don't need to be reevaluated, like the cross, like Christ himself. We need Christ-centered, cross-focused pastors for this 21st century. Now, if you've ever considered the vocation of pastor, check out our homepage, issuesetc.org. You can find out more about Concordia Seminary St. Louis and Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne there. Both seminaries are hosting on-campus visits this spring. Find out about it. Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne and Concordia Seminary St. Louis, issuesetc.org. When we come back from the break, your phone calls and your email. I think it was just this last year that Willow Creek decided it had to reevaluate its methods. Who did they call in? Emerging leaders. That's where they're getting their answers. We'll talk about that after this. Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, host of Issues Etc. We're looking for 300 congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budget. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, just look for the LCMS logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
What does it mean to refer to God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? On the nature of God and Trinity, a new resource is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February. You can read an excerpt on our homepage at issuesetc.org. For more information, contact Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The book is titled On the Nature of God and Trinity by Johann Gerhard, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, co-host of the national radio show The White Horse Inn, on the importance of Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. presents Jesus Christ and his saving work out of the text of the Bible. The teaching of Christ alone is the driving force of this program. It deals with the important issues of our time with carefully chosen guests and hosts who are knowledgeable in the scriptures, history, and their application. On Issues Etc., you will not hear pop evangelicalism, but confessional Lutheran theology fluently presented.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line at 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172.
I'm a good Buddhist. Where do I go when I die?
You know, this is not an interesting conversation. I mean, is this what we're going to do? You're going to put together false little dichotomies and then ask me to answer in one sentence.
Do you think that there's an eternal damnation for people who are not Christians?
The damnation would sort of be that there's parts of the life and creation that seem to be counter to what God is doing, and those are the things that are eliminated and removed and done away with. And so I think that's what damnation is.
I'm a good Buddhist. Where do I go when I die?
Okay. This is just not an interesting or helpful conversation for me to be part of.
That's Doug Padgett, pastor of Solomon's Porch Church, part of the emerging church movement, being interviewed recently on Way of the Master Radio. Some interesting and some non-answers to some rather straightforward questions. We're talking about the emerging church movement tonight on Issues Etc. Shane Rosenthal is our guest. Here's our mailing address. It's Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Our resource line number is 1-800-737-0172. Our website address, issuesetc.org. Now, you can use any of those to receive a free copy of the next Issues Etc. journal or to join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. It's our monthly or annual donor program. The address, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. The number 1-800-737-0172, or our website address, issuesetc.org. Why is it so hard to get a straight answer? We just heard Doug Padgett being asked straightforward questions. Why is it so difficult to get straight answers from many in the leadership of the emerging church?
Because we're asking them the wrong questions. We're not asking them the questions that they want to deal with. In their understanding, Christianity is mostly about kingdom living. And in our perspective, Christianity is about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and what he does to secure us from our biggest problem, that is death. Christianity is about, it does affect our life, but it's primarily about death. What are we going to do when we face God on the last day? And our answer has always been that it's the doing and dying of Jesus Christ that has satisfied the wrath of God on our behalf. He's lived the life we should have lived, and that gives us new hope, but that hope is based on truth. And these folks are a little bit allergic to truth. For example, listen to this line from Brian McLaren. I don't believe making disciples must equal making adherence to the Christian religion. It may be advisable in many circumstances to help people become followers of Jesus and remain within their Buddhist, Hindu, or Jewish context. I don't hope all Jews or Hindus will become members of the Christian religion, but I do hope all who feel so-called will become Jewish or Hindu followers of Jesus. You see, the difference there is a Jewish or Hindu follower of Jesus is just like me, a follower of Jesus, but I happen to go to a Christian church. See, following Jesus, then, is the heart of this type of emergent leader. This is the far end spectrum, the very committed McLaren type, but nevertheless, that is the focus. Following Jesus is the heart of their theology, not trusting in something that's true about Jesus, not believing that he is going to satisfy the wrath of God. They don't like that language. And that goes back to, there's an interesting book called, that recently came out by three Brits, called Pierced for Our Transgressions. And these guys evaluate the liberal, the softening of the cross over the ages, but also in the contemporary church with people like Brian McLaren, with N.T. Wright. And basically, they're saying the same thing that a lot of the guys over the years have done in the liberal world.
Eli is listening in Dearborn, Michigan on WDTK. Eli, thanks for waiting. Welcome.
Thank you. It's an honor to be on the program. And I agree with what's been said. I've been studying the emerging church movement over the last few years when a friend recommended me Brian McLaren's book, A New Kind of Christian. And also I've been a Sunday school teacher for young adults. And when I was reading Brian's first book, A New Kind of Christian, I realized that they almost believe in syncretism. And not only are they practicing these old ancient Christian practices of spirituality, you know, especially about bringing back in icons. You know, the Catholic Church has been doing this, you know, for centuries, and they completely ignore the disaster, the spiritual disaster the Catholic Church inflicted on Latin America. And I am of Mexican descent. And when I look at Mexico or Guatemala, I see the aberration of true biblical worship, where I see the integration of idols and of ancient Indian gods in the worship services. You know, the promotion of the Virgin Mary in Mexico especially was done at a place which was an ancient temple of an Aztec goddess, you know, just after the conquest of Mexico.
Eli, thank you very much. What about his concerns regarding syncretism or the syncretistic nature of the emerging church?
Well, again, the emergent church focuses on the many side of that one and many pendulum swing through history. And because of that, they are on the let's de-emphasize those distinctives that separate us, and let's open this thing up. So they are not interested, really, in the distinctions between Protestants and Catholics. And we, both Reformation types, Lutherans and Calvinists, think that the difference between classical Catholicism and Reformation theology is so important because we are talking about the article on which the church stands or falls with the doctrine of justification. Those distinctions get eradicated and it's opened up. Well, there you go. I mean, that's basically the heart of syncretism. It's just all distinctions are erased.
Let's talk with Matt in Florida. Matt, thank you for waiting. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Hey, Shane, longtime listener of the White Horse Inn.
Good, thanks.
Hey, yeah, you guys, well, I told Rob this before, you guys really set me on edge quite a bit when I first started watching. I'm really thankful for all the work you guys did.
Well, good.
You know, today we were talking about, you know, people are always walking around. They seem to sense to varying degrees, some people a lot and some people not so much, that there's something inherently wrong with them. And they're always looking around for something that works for them. Now, in this emerging, you know, you've been around them way more than probably all of us. But in that kind of movement, how much do you see that kind of a play, that what they're really looking around for is, I really got to find something that works for me because there's something wrong with me and I don't know what to do about it?
Matt, thank you very much. About 1 minute or less for your response there, Shane.
Well, I was at Barnes & Noble recently doing some research for another White Horse Inn program, and I came across this book called Spirituality for Dummies. Okay, now this is not an emergent church publication. The person is not a Christian. But just listen to some of the similarities between this particular book. There's a huge emphasis in spirituality in the emergent church. Listen to this and see if you see any parallels. The spiritual journey can be summed up in two phrases: purify your heart, follow your heart. Spiritual practices and exercises such as prayer, meditation, yoga, contemplation, scriptural study, and devotional rituals, as well as spiritual qualities such as compassion, honesty, steadiness, and unconditional love, contribute to this process of purifying your heart and following the guidance of your pure heart. Be careful, dogma can muddy the waters of your spiritual path.
Sounds an awful lot like the advice given by the emergent
leaders. And so when following your heart and you're removed from the hierarchy of a text or a preacher, and you are removed from the hierarchy of truth, your heart becomes the determining factor. And so, yeah, what the caller says is absolutely what's going on.
Eli from Dearborn, Michigan, give us a call back. We're going to send you a copy of the book, Becoming Conversant with the Emerging Church, 1-800-730-2727. or issue ZTC at KFUO.org. We're coming to you live this Sunday night, February the 17th. We will continue to take your phone calls and your email on the Emerging Church in the next hour. The conversation does continue. 1-800-730-2727. We'll continue to give away the book Becoming Conversant with the Emerging Church to listeners with the best questions or comments in the next hour. 1-800-730-2727 or just email us, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, you can only listen to this next hour on the web, issuesetc.org. Click Listen Online and give us a call during this break, 1-800-730-2727. The basic question of Christian theology, classically framed by Holy Scripture, of course, is the Coram Deo question. It's just a fancy Latin way of saying, before God, how do you stand before God? How does a sinner like me stand before a God like him, who's holy and righteous and just? Now, see, I think the emerging church leaders would say they're concerned about that question, too. How does someone stand before God? I think they would. But their answer to that question is very different than the answer given by Holy Scripture. Their answer is, you stand before God by the way you live now, the kingdom living right now, right here, being like Jesus, walking in his footsteps, doing what he did, living out the gospel in your life. You see where that answer puts you? It makes the answer to the question, how does a sinner stand before a holy and righteous God, your life, how you live it, your works, in essence. Scripture answers the question very differently. How does a sinner like me stand before a God like him? Not my life, not my kingdom living, not my deeds, not me living out the gospel, but Jesus' life. Jesus' kingdom, bringing the kingdom in his own flesh into the world. Jesus' deeds, his suffering, his death, and his resurrection for me. You see the difference? One answer is your life. The other one is Jesus' life. And Jesus' life is the only answer to that Coram Deo question that holds. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.